Concerning Him. An Emmaus podcast is a ministry of Emmaus Bible College. Concerning Him seeks to enrich Christians around the globe by educating and equipping them through various media. For more information about Emmaus, please visit emmaus.edu.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Concerning Him podcast. Today, I'm really excited to be joined by Dr. Shay Michael Hoodman. Welcome to the podcast. Well,
thank you, Ari. Thanks for having me. So I'm actually not a doctor quite yet. I'm currently in the doctor ministry program in Dallas Seminary, but you're about a year or two premature on that doctor title.
We could wait a couple of years before we post it, and then I'd be accurate. I'm pretty happy to just have a mistake right at the beginning. Yeah. Thank you very much for coming on today. That's exciting that you're working on your doctorate. And I guess that actually just goes right into where I want to start today is, could you tell us some about yourself and your education experience? And it sounds like you're in education right now. And just how the Lord's been working in your life to the point of being the CEO of this really awesome, incredible website and ministry that's helping tons of people all around the world.
Well, thank you for that encouragement. So am I, where to start? But I'll give you the abridged version, then you can ask clarifying questions if you want to know more. But I was raised in a, I call it like a semi-Christian household, where my mom was a believer, my dad was a very good father, great father, but was not a believer until shortly before he passed away from cancer when I was a teenager. So I didn't have a prototypical Christian upbringing. I was familiar with the faith. My mom dragged me to church as a kid. So I had basic head knowledge, but actually came to faith in Christ in my late teens when a family member, my mom's brother actually shared the gospel with me, and then I got plugged into a local Bible church that a friend invited me to, and the youth pastor started discipling me. And so it was really my late teens where God got a hold of my heart, and I just remember that when my uncle was sharing the gospel with me, I remember just asking him tons and tons of questions, and I don't remember the questions I was asking. I knew my heart in it was kind of to distract him, to see if I could annoy him to the death, to the point that he would leave me alone, whatever. But he was very patient, lovingly answered all those questions for me. And as a result of that, and as a result of him clearly aligning the gospel for me, I placed my faith and trust in Christ as my Savior. So then it wasn't too much longer after that when the youth pastor who was discipling me started to, at least in his mind, recognize, like, Shay, I think God's calling you into some sort of full-time ministry. I'm sure I laughed him off. Was still a very baby believer, was sure I was just going to be successful computer programmer or something along those lines. But eventually, through some various events that happened in my life, God got a hold of my heart, eventually convinced me to drop out of the secular university I was attending and transfer to Calvary Bible College, now Calvary University, which I know is kind of one of Emmaus's rivals, but are we really rivals when we all have the same ultimate goal in mind?
So we're friends with those guys. We love them. We just like competing against them in sports.
That's exactly. All. So graduated from Calvary Bible College with a degree in biblical studies, which is kind of the degree program you take if you don't know what you want to do. Then went to Calvary Seminary, got a master's degree in Christian theology, which again is kind of the master's program you do if you don't know what you're going to do. And looking back, knowing the struggle of like, I'm getting to know God's word really well. I'm getting to understand Christian theology well. I'm growing spiritually, but this really isn't preparing me to do anything specific. Well, now looking back, that was the perfect training for what God was eventually calling me to. Calvary didn't and does not still have a degree in internet ministry or internet missions or whatever you want to call it. Well, shortly after I graduated with my master's degree, my wife and I were just praying, Lord, what would be the ministry that would be the perfect fit for me? So The internet was becoming increasingly common. Most people had it in their homes. High-speed internet was becoming more common. This is late 2001, early 2002. So why don't we just launch a website where people could just ask any question they have about the Bible? I'm thinking this will be some fun little hobby we do until God calls us to the real ministry for us that he has in mind. Well, little did we know that was the real ministry God was calling us to. So launched gotquestions.org in February of 2002. And so here we are approaching 22 years later, watching God take what we thought was going to be a hobby and just explode it into one of the most frequently visited Christian websites in the world. So over, also say 22 years, we've answered well over 700,000 questions. People who've come to the website, asked us a question, received a personal response, built up the FAQ archive. So it's got approaching 9,000 articles. And I think last month we had over 15 million visitors to the website just in 1 month. So it's crazy. It's amazing. I love what I do. The fact that people actually come to me and ask questions, I don't even, like, my mission field is receiving the people who come to the website rather than having to actually go out and do something. It's so cool. It's so fun. It's so exciting. And I praise God for him planting this idea in our minds and then, again, just exploding it far beyond anything we can ask or imagine.
Walk us through, because I'm really curious about this. You know, I was a Bible college student in the early to mid 2010s, mm-hmm. and kind of towards, you know, halfway through that, I think I got more familiar with Got Questions. I think most Bible college students today are familiar with Got Questions. It's a good primer as you're working on a paper or something like that. But take me through maybe the early years, or kind of when did the explosion happen? What was that like? How did it really take off?
Sure. So from our very first question, which was, how do I explain the Trinity to an unbeliever, which is not the easiest question to start off with, but a good foretaste of the type of questions we sometimes deal with, to so back then, there were multiple search engines. I mean, Google's been the dominant search engine now for, well over a decade. So most people don't even know that at one point, you know, there was competition in that industry. There was 10, 15 search engines that people use. So from a secular perspective, you'd say luck, but I look at it as God's sovereignty. Our website started to get some good positions in the search engine. So when people search for things, they'd find gotquestions.org articles. And so our traffic started to grow. So then the volume of questions started to grow. So we're like, what do we do? So I contacted people I went to Bible college with, hey, here's this cool little thing we're doing. Would you like to help? So we started building up a volunteer team of people to help us answer all the questions and started writing more and more articles so that people could find their answers live instantly on the website rather than waiting for us to send a personal response via email. And it's probably about 6 months in, we're like, this is really growing. This is not just a fun hobby. This is like becoming like a part-time ministry position. And then I remember the first time someone, and his wording was something along the lines of, you guys have answered some questions I've had for most of my Christian life that no one's ever been able to answer for me before. And this, don't remember what the questions were. I'd like to make a donation. Are you guys tax deductible? I was just like, you want to give us money to do this cool little, And then something like that happened again. We're like, okay, that was weird that money was kind of like the trigger in the sense of realizing, okay, if people are actually interested in supporting this when we're not even asking, there's no donate now link on the website or anything like that, maybe this is something bigger than what we think it would be. So we went through the process of registering as a 501c3 tax exempt organization, establishing a board of directors, and people started to donate. And it was all just people who'd found the ministry helpful, have been able to submit questions to us that maybe they were too embarrassed to ask a pastor or a Christian friend. The anonymity of it really opens up people's hearts to ask the questions they truly want to know the answers to, but may not, I don't know if I want to ask this person this question, those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. So within a year, enough funding was coming in that we're like, I wonder if this could eventually turn into like an actual ministry position. And 2 years in, my wife and I moved from Kansas City to Colorado, where we still reside. And another ministry kind of partnered with us. And that's when it actually became a full-time ministry work for me. And where I was, once I was able to dedicate myself to it full-time, that's when the growth even exploded on a whole nother level. And we started doing translations of articles and other content, and I'm really focused on publishing more and more and more FAQs. And so it was, there was no like one clear like aha moment that this is going to be much bigger, but it was a steady progress of, God is using this and I love doing this. Let's see if we can find a way to make this a full-time ministry position. And now here we are again, 22 years later, we've got 11 employees. We've got dozens of contractors who contribute to the ministry in various ways, and over 200 volunteers who help us answer all the questions we receive and write some of the articles for the website. So yeah, it blows my mind. If you were to tell me when you launched the site that it'd be what it is today, I would have laughed or ran away screaming. I'm not sure which, but the way that God grew the ministry slowly, surely over time, it's such a cool story to see, and it's an amazing thing to been a part of.
Well, that's incredible. I have read, tons of the articles on Got Questions, and one of the things I've been curious about and I'm sure maybe at the beginning you didn't necessarily have this dialed in, you're just answering some questions, but how would you define like the purpose or the vision of Got Questions? And I think about that because I think, some of these questions, you could write 20, 30 page papers on them and have them be really academic, or you could really simplify some things for somebody who doesn't have any sort of biblical language or Christianese type of stuff at all and doesn't understand any sort of theological terms. And so I'm sure you've got to be making decisions. And so maybe the big picture of kind of what's your purpose or your vision or your audience and all of those things. How do you articulate through
that? It's funny because we're actually in the process of kind of reviewing, maybe rewriting some of our mission and vision statements, but some of them really haven't been revised since we launched the ministry. And obviously the ministry has grown much bigger. We're doing so many more things. But for a very simple slogan, your questions, biblical answers. For more in-depth, biblically based answers to spiritually related questions. We seek to glorify God by providing biblically based answers to spiritually related questions through an internet presence. We want our answers to be easy to understand. We want them to be answer the questions as completely as necessary using as few words as possible. While if someone asks us a question like, what are the theological ramifications of a dispensational premillennial interpretation of Revelation chapter 17? Well, okay, we know we're dealing with someone who we can go a little more scholarly on that question. But for the vast majority of people who visit our website, we're assuming that they are either at the seeker or baby Christian level. So we want to answer that question so they can understand it. We don't want to use, as you said, Christianese, or give them an answer that they can't understand. But what's the value in that? We want them to say, come back and ask a follow-up question if we didn't, and maybe answer as completely as they needed. In terms of the articles, I mean, it's funny that we'll get people who almost complain, why aren't your articles like more scholarly? Like my seminary says, I can't quote from Got Questions because it's not a scholarly source. I'm like, we're not aiming for it to be a scholarly source, because you write articles at a scholarly level, you're limiting your audience to a very small percentage of people. I mean, I've taken lots of Greek and Hebrew and loved it all, and some of the members of our team have more education in the area than I do, but if you spend so much time digging down into the depths of Hebrew and Greek verb tenses and participles and parsing and all this stuff to the point where you lose your audience, I mean, what's the value? So no, we aim, so to speak, to put the cookies on the lower shelf, that the vast majority of people who read our answers can understand them. And then if they want to dig deeper, we're happy to do that. But in terms of where we start off, where we put an article, let's write it at the level where the vast majority of people could understand it and not have to break out a dictionary to understand what we're talking about.
Walk me through, I'm really curious about what the team is like currently. You mentioned the team, and I know you mentioned a few minutes ago, I think you said maybe 200 volunteers that help answer questions. Who do you guys have on staff? And then maybe just talking through as well, those volunteers, how do you kind of figure out who should and shouldn't be answering questions for Got Questions, or are all of the questions going through you before they're published? What's kind of take us behind the scenes a little bit. I'm curious about some.
Of course. So I'll do the volunteer aspect first, because that's the part of the ministry that started first. So we have an application process that someone has to go through. If they want to serve as a volunteer writer, they have to complete an application and ask if they're in agreement with our statement of faith, and if not, to express which points you disagree with and why. We'll allow some variance on some of the non-crucial issues. So, for example, if someone disagreed with us on charismatic versus non-charismatic, if everything else looks good, we can approve them as a volunteer writer. Just know you're not going to be assigned any questions about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or a different view on the end times, for example. You can serve with us, but just know you're not going to get any questions about the end times or the relationship between Israel and the church, or amill versus premill, or anything like that. Beyond the statement of faith, we ask them to answer a test question or two, because we want to gauge both their writing ability and also their ability to answer a question biblically with the right heart attitude. And then if they're approved, a volunteer, when they're assigned questions, their answers will be reviewed by a member of our staff. And especially at the very beginning, they're reviewed very, very closely. And then as they reach a level of that we're comfortable with them, it's our goal to review every answer that we send out. This in the name of this ministry, but we've had writers who've been serving us with us for almost 20 years, and every single answer I've ever written is excellent. We can trust that on a super busy day, we can approve it with just a quick eyeball. But no, the vast majority of answers that are sent out are reviewed by a member of our staff. We have a team of people who actually do the editing work on the answers that are sent out. So that's kind of how the volunteer aspect of the ministry goes. In terms of like our contractors, we've got some paid article writers, paid translators, video producers, programmers, developers. It's kind of based on what a certain need is. If we don't have someone who's on staff, we either look to add that person to the staff or contract it out in that sense. We have a lot of excellent contractors who've served with the ministry for quite a long time. And for our staff, in terms of our employees, as Got Questions has grown, we've launched several other websites. The second most well-known website we have is BibleRef.com, which is a verse-by-verse Bible commentary. So if someone goes to Google and searches for what does Ephesians 4:31 mean, you will see a BibleRef article near the top of the results there. Mm-hmm. So on every single verse of the Bible, we want to have an article that explains what that verse means. It also points people to the surrounding context and that sort of thing. And that site has really taken off. We have a few other sites as well, a site for kids, a site for teens. So most of our employees, they manage one of our websites as their primary job, but then also contribute in other ways. So one person manages the site, but then also is our in-house graphic designer. Another person is the managing editor for the whole ministry that make sure everything is being edited to the appropriate degree. Another person is our primary on-staff programmer developer, does our apps, does our back-end database, and those sorts of things, but then also contributes in other ways. So as we've hired people over the years, it's like, here's a need that we have. Do we have anyone who's already involved in the ministry who might be a good fit for this? And if not, let's start exploring out. We've never had to actually have like a hiring process. God has always very clearly led us to just the right person, just the right time. So that's really cool. But imagine in the not so distant future, some of our other needs, we'll have to actually post a job and deal with potentially the flood of applications that would come in. So that briefly to answer your question sufficiently enough.
Yeah, that, you know, I'm curious now as well, you know, as you have grown in your role at Got Questions, obviously just from answering questions about the Trinity to start, mm-hmm. to where you are today with multiple websites and a podcast and videos on YouTube and all these things. What do your responsibilities look like? Is it everything? Is it just overseeing everything? Do you have your hand involved in all of it? I'm curious about that.
You sound like someone on our board of directors who is questioning me for why I'm still involved in as many things that I am. But I am in the process of learning to let go of some things, in the sense of knowing at this point, I really don't need to be doing all of these tasks. And that's been a process for me, because when we launched it, and for the first few years, there was really no one else. My wife was helping me in major ways with the ministry, but she had other ministry responsibilities. So it was me doing the finances, me doing the web development, it was me doing a lot of the article writing and the management of the volunteers and all these things. And so it's been growing from that. So one of the cool things about being the CEO is you can kind of pick and choose what you do. So there's certain aspects of the job, like I'm still the primary web developer for gotquestions.org, and I truly just love doing that. So I don't want to let it go. And because I'm the CEO, I don't have to. But some of the other parts, like I'm much less involved in the financial aspect, which is a good and healthy thing for an organization. I'm less involved with the management of the volunteers, and I'm more focused on managing our team of employees and contractors. I'm getting used to attending a meeting and not having to lead every single meeting, letting someone else who knows the focus and me just stepping in and giving input as needed. So it's, I wish my job's had even less administrative stuff that it currently does, but I recognize as a CEO, some of that is going to always fall on me. But getting back to the point where I can spend more time writing and doing the actual web development, stuff that I really love and feel immense joy in doing, and being able to check off a list like, yeah, I was able to write 2 articles today and publish 12 articles and all these different things. I'm an achiever. That's how I'm wired. I like getting things done. So anytime my job can focus on doing things that I know will have an impact for God's kingdom, that is tremendously rewarding for me.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. I'm curious as well about, I guess, the podcast and the YouTube videos that you guys are doing. And obviously that's an expansion over what you guys were doing initially, but those seem to be very focused on questions as well, right? Answering questions, whether it's in video form, animated a lot of times, is that correct?
Yeah, we started doing videos 5, 6, 7 years ago, but really the last few years it's become a major focus for us, because YouTube is the number 2 search engine in the world after Google. More people go to YouTube and just search for stuff than they do any place other than Google, way more than Bing or Yahoo or any of the other smaller search engines that are out there. So it's recognizing that, okay, let's start creating video-based versions of our answers. Some of them are abridged versions, some of them are full versions, different styles of videos. We have some where Nelson, our director of video content, where it's just him basically almost reading an answer, versus some others that are more animated or motion graphics or those sorts of things. Our podcast, I can't tell you for years how many people requested, why don't you guys have a podcast? You guys have a podcast. You've got all this great content. And it's like, just for me, I don't have the time to listen to a whole lot of podcasts. So I wasn't really into the genre, but launched the podcast a little over 2 years ago. I think we launched episode 173 just this morning.
Wow.
Something I've learned to love and value and see. Yeah, there's a lot of people who just on their way to work, they want to listen to a podcast, or as they're working out or doing something else, just listening to podcasts. And I think Got Questions is seeking to answer the questions, but from a more personal perspective, with our podcast can really hit home differently than just reading an answer or even watching a video that just gives the same content, but just kind of discussing it. Look, here's how I've just struggled with this issue over the years, or here's some of the side questions we get that relate to this. A lot of people have found it really, really interesting. So we love the podcast now and can't imagine why it took us so long to finally launch one, but it takes, as you know, it takes some work.
Yeah, it does.
but it's well worth it. Mm.
I would love to give you an opportunity just to share stories, if there's any stories that come to mind about how, you know, the Lord has used Got Questions in people's lives, stories that you've heard, stories that you've been a part of, as this ministry has blossomed over the last 22 years or so.
I'll give you two. And one, because it's fresh in my mind, but someone, I think yesterday or the day before, asked, what's one of the clearest examples of an answer to prayer that God ever gave? And I go back to, this was fairly early on, probably about 5 years into after we launched Got Questions, we're really starting to focus on translating our articles into other languages. Got Questions is online in 205 languages right now, which, as far as I know, every major language where there's significant internet usage, we've got content. So that's incredible. That was a long time goal that we really just finished, still continuing to do more and more translations. But it was a particular language, an African language, where we could not find a translator for. We searched and searched, talked to missionaries, couldn't find anything. And so my wife, being the godlier than I am person that she is, said, Shay, have you tried like praying? Asking God to provide a translator? And it's one of those, ugh, no, thank you. So just said a quick prayer, Lord, please provide a translator for this language. Well, it was within a week, I get an email from someone who says, hey, I'm a computer programmer. I live in this country. I've been using Got Questions for a couple of years now. I love what you're doing. I'm bilingual in English and this other language. I've done some translation work in the past. I'm not even sure why I'm contacting you or telling you this, but I was wondering if there's a good fit. And the language he mentioned was the actual language that we prayed for. So it's like, he's literally said,
that's incredible.
I don't know why I'm contacting you. I was like, ooh, I know. Thank you, Lord. So that was a really cool thing. So he was able to translate the first, couple hundred articles into that language. And it's been one of our more effective ones. So that's a really cool story. And then second story, again, this was also early on. Someone submitted the question to us, do pets go to heaven? And at first I kind of looked at it as like, wasn't a question I'd heard of it. I thought of it. We'd probably been asked it before, but never like, what's the big deal? But we answered her question and they tried to give as biblical a response as possible to an answer the Bible does not directly address, and sent her the response. Well, she wrote back and said, so I've asked this question numerous times and I actually submitted it to your website and a couple others. And you were the only ones who actually bothered to respond and give me like an actual caring response. And because of that, I came back to your website. I read the article on what does it mean to accept Christ as your personal savior? And I've decided to place my faith in Christ. So by answering a question, which in the grand scheme of eternity is not that important, because as everyone knows, dogs go to heaven and cats don't. But for her, who had just, she'd lost a beloved cat, had lived with her for like 20 years or some crazy number like that, and she was devastated. So us just showing care opened her heart to ultimately get the most important question answered. So that's continues to inform how we approach these things. Like, even if this is an unimportant question or a question we really don't want to be spending a lot of time with, for someone, this could be the key question that's preventing them from being open to the gospel. So unless a person is proving to us that they are openly hostile or just being a troll or whatever, we take every question seriously, try to answer every question with care, with compassion, but most importantly, biblically, and then trusting that God's going to use it to accomplish what he wants. The Isaiah 55:11 concept, where when you use God's word, it always has the impact that God intends it to. So those are just two really cool stories about stuff that continues to inform how we operate as a ministry and how we value prayer and seeking the Lord's will and his guidance to help us to make the right decisions in the right timing.
You mentioned these questions coming in. I'm curious, what percentage of questions are you answering? Are there ones that kind of say, hey, maybe we could do that, but it's on the back burner? Are there what percentage are you just tossing out right away as an obvious, you know, somebody's trolling or whatever it is?
So on a given day, they'll say we receive like 120 questions that are actually submitted to us on the website. Of those, sometimes up to half actually do have answers written that are already on the website.
Okay.
And the person either just didn't find it or didn't look. So we can just like copy and paste it, maybe tweak it a little bit, and then send it on to the person. Of the remaining half, maybe a third of those are ones that are pretty easy. Like where's the Bible verse that says this? Where it doesn't. Mm. So a member of our staff can just answer that one really quickly. And the remaining, whatever percentage is left, we will submit to our team of volunteers to answer the questions. And a lot of them, we have something similar on the website, but this one is just personal enough that that real answer is really not a good fit. So yeah, the 120 questions a day that receive a personal response, then you look at the number of people who actually find the answers in the FAQs on the website, which upwards of approaching 500,000 visitors a day. So thank God that we do not receive 500,000 submitted questions a day, because I would have no idea how to even start to tackle that many questions. So yeah, the vast majority of people now find their answers actually on the website, usually through a Google search. But with that said, I can't imagine us ever not having the ability for people to submit questions to us, because that little personal touch is often something they need to, wow, this actually got a response from a person, will then make them more open to both what the answer says, but then also searching more, using the website, utilizing it for the rest of their lives.
Are there questions that stick out to your mind as either difficult questions to answer or really interesting or maybe just really important and we're really glad we answered that? Mm-hmm. Or ones that you want to highlight over the last 20 years?
So most difficult questions are the ones that usually start off with, why did God allow, and then insert whatever tragedy or difficulty a person has experienced, where I can't answer that question. I can point you to continue to trust God even when you don't understand why he allowed it. I can, if you want, speculate or maybe some reasons why God would allow it, some good he could possibly bring from it, but you can't answer that question. And then often when a person asks that, they're in a moment of pain, they're hurting, they're struggling. They throwing out a Romans 8:28, God works all things together for good, can come across pretty cold in a moment like that, when you can't imagine how God could possibly bring good from it. So what they often need is just care, compassion. So that's one of the difficulties of internet ministry, in that our answers come off most often in written form. So it's hard to communicate, tone of voice, body language. You can't do any of that. You can't express the care or the compassion that you would want to. So those are the most difficult. Some of the theological debates are difficult too. I mean, you name it, we've debated it, whether it's old earth versus young earth, Calvinism versus Arminianism, which view of the tribulation, which view of the end times in general, charismatic versus non-charismatic, all of those things. We don't want to spend a whole lot of time debating. We're not gotdebate.org. But at the same time, if someone has an open mind and they're truly wanting to learn and understand, we will even engage in a respectful dialogue on some of those more controversial issues. But it's not our favorite thing to do. No, but the coolest one is still when someone will actually submit a question that is a direct gospel-related question. Like, I've committed this horrible sin. Will God forgive me? Is there life after death? I just lost a loved one, and I really want to see this person again. Is that possible? Those sorts of things where you're like, oh, this is perfect. This is like a complete stranger walking up to you in the street and say, how can I be saved? And it happens to us every day, day after day after day. And that is so cool. It's so cool to see how God has chosen to use got questions, both in a discipleship sense, which is what our original vision for the ministry was, and also in evangelism and people truly coming to faith online. Literally every month we have thousands of people expressing faith in Christ, indicating they've made a first-time decision to receive Christ. I think last month we had nearly 10,000 people. Imagine if even 10% of those are genuine first-time decisions to receive Christ. Yeah. That's amazing. And it's a powerful reminder that behind each of these numbers, there's an actual person, and really refreshes and re-energizes us for, yes, this is why we're doing this. This is why we put up with some of the trolls. This is why we do some of the daily grind, knowing that that's what God is ultimately using the ministry to accomplish.
That's amazing. That is incredible. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah. As we wrap up here, I'd love to give you a chance just to talk about, obviously there's gotquestions.org, the Got Questions podcast, mm-hmm. Your YouTube channel mm-hmm. as well. The podcasts are also on the YouTube channel, as well as you have some of your articles that have been answered as YouTube videos.
Yes.
Other aspects of the ministry that you'd like to give a chance to promote or point people to?
Sure, absolutely. So 412teens.org is our site for teenagers, based on 1 Timothy 4:12, but I'm probably going to misquote it, but do not let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example in love, faith, and purity. GQKids.org is our site for kids. The articles are written kind of target like a third grade level, because at that level you can reach most kids a little younger, a little older, before they hit the teenage years. We have compellingtruth.org, which is a site similar to Got Questions, but a little more focused on apologetics and worldview. We're launching a new site soon, but I'm not quite ready to promote it quite yet, because we're still working through some of the details. But basically, when we have so much content on so many different sites, kind of a hub where someone can go, okay, I want to do a search on this topic and just see all the different content from all the different avenues of ministry all in one central location. So we have a site called seekfind.org, which is a Christian search engine for designed for biblical research, where people, all the results you're going to receive are from trustworthy Christian websites. So you go to Google, search for something, you're going to get good stuff mixed with bad stuff. It's seekfind.org. If you're doing Christian research on a theological topic, every site, every result you're going to see is going to be from a trusted source. So just some of the things we experiment with, and love to see what God might have in mind.
That's amazing. You guys are doing incredible work. We thank you for that. We praise the Lord for it. And thank you so much for coming on today.
Well, Eric, thank you for having me. I have a few friends who went to Emmaus. So I'm a big fan of the school and love what the impact God is doing through Emmaus as well.
We really appreciate that. Thank you, Shay.
Thank you for listening to Concerning Him, an Emmaus podcast. Ministries like Concerning Him are possible because of the generous contributions from our partners around the world. For more information about partnering with us, please visit emmaus.edu/partner.